Word of mouth Wednesday. We're here back for another Wednesday here. This is Wednesday, September the 22nd, 2010, and it is our summer season finale. It's our Harvest Moon special countdown tonight. The Manifesto Hip Hop Festival is taking place this week, and audio you've been waiting for tonight, a familiar voice to CKLN returns to the air. You probably haven't heard him in a while, but he's back tonight as we'll present the return of the Black Krishna. I'll play a street action interview with Vijay Sharma, the candidate for mayor of Toronto. Also, we'll get real on local issues with a candidate for city councilor, Ward 13, Redmond Weissenberger, who I spoke with at the Bloor West Ukraine Fest on the weekend. Plus, we got the audio from the Free Mark Emery rally, and that's what took place on Saturday. Interviewed the Free Mark activist Michelle, and we got more clips related to the G20 Toronto and the Secret Law Review. All that and more coming up today on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. Stay tuned. Word up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. This is CKLN 88.1 FM broadcasting in Toronto. 7 to 8 p.m. is the Word of Mouth Wednesday show. And my name is Daniel Libby. Stay tuned. Shout outs also to Victor Baines Marshall, host of The Middle Passage, the show that's on before us here. And we'll be right back right after this. Word up.
Break him off! Break him off! Break him off! Break him off!
Go to Myrna.ca. Learn all your cannabis facts.
Free Mark Emery.
Go to whyprohibition.ca and learn what you can do to help Free Mark Emery. To help get a Canadian citizen back home to Canada. If we can get Mark back here on Canadian soil, first thing we gotta do is put the pressure on Vic Taves, our public safety minister, and tell him to get Mark Emery, a Canadian citizen, back home.
Free Mark Emery!
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 Word up. So that was a bit of the audio there from the rally that took place on Saturday. It was the Toronto Hash Mob presented the Free Mark Emery rally, which was originally scheduled for the U.S. consulate. And I guess there was a march there. And then, we'll get more into exactly what happened, how the rally ended up at Yonge Dundas Square when we... Well, a bit later on in the show, but first up, since I know that there are some people, that have been wondering what's gone on, why is the Black Krishna cannot be heard on the radio? Well, it turns out that he is officially a candidate for the mayor of Toronto as Vijay Sharma. And I spoke with Black Krishna, caught up with him on Saturday at the Toronto Truth Seeker Street Action after I was at that rally for a bit. The Toronto True Seeker Street Action, usually at Yonge and Dundas Square, and it had been a while since Black Krishna had been seen on the street. So I asked him a few questions about what he's up to now, how the campaign's going, and all that and more. So without further ado, this is Vijay Sharma for Mayor, What You Want to Believe In.
Word up. We're here, Yonge Dundas Square, Toronto True Seekers on the street. We've got a founding member here has returned to the square. What is the word?
How you doing? This is BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, which is a stage name I use. My real name is Vijay Sharma, and I am running for mayor of Toronto. The website is whatyouwanttobelievein.com. And the bottom line is that we have serious issues to deal with, and I respect all the other candidates and everyone's opinions, but since we all know that big corporations are affecting our lives in major ways, raising prices, poisoning our environments, and so on, I'd like to deal with that and the effects of globalization or international institutions on the institutions in our country and our daily lives. So it's a pretty big picture, but I think we can do it. My main focus is this. Number one, I think men should definitely man up on behalf of women, children, and the elderly in this culture, just like men always have. There's many attacks on men in today's modern corporate culture where they want to turn us all into corporate cartoons. I think we can still enjoy our culture. I certainly do. I just hope that we can enjoy our culture and understand our responsibilities and act on them so that we can have a better culture and a better place to live. The second thing is, frankly, no matter who gets elected, myself or any of the other candidates, number one, we're not controlled by any political parties. So there are no, you know, liberal senior higher-ups to tell me what to do or any other candidates. And number two is that if the people of Toronto spend an hour a week bugging us and making sure we're still working on issues that they care about, still working on lowering taxes, still working on cutting waste, still working on getting, say, the fluoride out of our water supply, which Montreal and Vancouver don't use because they realized it was not good for us, and many other cities have, and most of Europe has as well. If we spend an hour a week in touch with our elected officials, then we can help protect them from the influence of corporate lobbyists and other special interest groups that tend to dominate their time and their schedules and the policies they discuss and they ultimately vote on that affect us. So a couple examples of what I'm up to. Again, VIJAYSARMA. The website is whatyouwanttobelieveein.com. Please check it out. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks so much.
So what did you think about recent scandal talking about a front runner for mayor, Rob Ford? There was a recent scandal that they came out. It was made it through all the media. It was focusing on this, saying that the top candidate for mayor was in a DUI. He was caught with like a joint in his pocket. Did this scandal at all surprise you that you're seeing this was the top Toronto politician?
You know what? The Rob Ford thing is funny. Here's what I think. First of all, on the DUI, on the marijuana stuff, I'd have to look into it more to see if he did anything bad to someone. Obviously, I don't believe in drunk driving. He shouldn't have been drunk driving. He should be charged if he was. But, you know, his character at the time, he may have been a party kid. And, you know, since there's a lot of former party kids in this city of Toronto, you know, I don't think we should hold that too much against him. But, again, character is an issue. And I saw four ex-mayors on a Globe and Mail article in a discussion discussing how most of the candidates haven't talked about a bunch of things, including poverty. So we should judge their character on things like that, as opposed to what they did when they were young. But on the Rob Ford issue as well, to me, if you believe that there's a bigger picture and that there are people that may be controlling this process to some degree, then Rob Ford could be set up as the bad guy to scare everyone into voting for the original front runner, George Smitherman. Because the way I see this working is they've been building up Ford for the last few weeks, and now they're introducing some scandal, and there's a number of articles from especially the left-wing or liberal media in this city saying the one thing people don't want is Rob Ford for mayor. People definitely don't want Rob Ford for mayor. You're hearing a lot of that. And so that will send more votes over to George Smitherman. He may be being used to scare people into voting for Smitherman, and you may expect a bit more scandal from his past to be played up over the next few weeks.
Do you have any thoughts on the candidate Rocco Rossi policy on making a large expressway tunnel throughout the downtown core? Had you heard of this?
I have heard of this, and I think that there's sort of three things that politicians do. Number one, they talk about, you know, fighting corruption. Everybody says, I'm going to fight corruption and cut waste. But then they never mention any corruption that they're going to fight. They never talk about the corrupt system that they're going to try and fix in any detail. So they all say it because we like to hear it and they think it's a good thing to say. But frankly, if they're not going to talk about what corruption they're going to fight, it's hard to, you know, trust that they will fight corruption once they're in there. They also talk about lowering taxes. And they rarely lower taxes, you know. I mean, everyone says it, and then they usually renege on that. And finally, to the Rocco Rossi question you asked, is they talk about big infrastructure projects, big, sexy projects where they can say, oh, I have this huge vision for Toronto. So they talk about something that may or may not happen 10 years from now that's going to cost billions of dollars, that's going to allow them to give people a bunch of kickbacks and possibly take some kickbacks for themselves from these massive city infrastructure projects, and yet ultimately they aren't dealing with our day-to-day issues in our real lives. So on the Rocco Rossi tunnel idea, honestly, I think he saw himself as not one of the front-running candidates, and he came up with that idea and decided to pitch it to get media attention. That's all I think of that idea. In terms of the technicalities of it, I say that if our TDC isn't working as well as it should now, let's fix what we have now, get it working more efficient.
For real, we're talking about a truth seeker for mayor, Vijay Sharma. Do you have any thoughts just leading into October? Any things to think about?
Absolutely. I just hope the people of Toronto understand that millions of people worldwide are looking into how power really works. You know, this isn't 50 years ago where you might meet one old-timer who can tell you, you know, his experiences. This is doctors, you know, whistleblowing on the medical industry and nurses. This is lawyers whistleblowing on the legal system. This is politicians whistleblowing on the political system. This is, you know, journalists, you know, compiling all this information, filmmakers making documentaries so you can take years of research and condense it into an hour or 2 hours that everyone can understand very easily. So ultimately, this is about the confidence of the people in Toronto to look at what millions of people around the world look at, and the confidence of tough guys to not be afraid of what nerds look at, because tough guys shouldn't be afraid of what nerds look at. Nerds can look at all this Alex Jones stuff and all this crazy stuff and all these issues, you know, with our health and GMO foods and vaccines and fluoride and MSG and aspartame and their effects on us and our happiness, because as we consume these things, they affect our brains and our ability to think of ways to be happy. If we can take some of these things seriously, we'll feel better for it, the people around us will feel better for it, and we'll get some good things done. And as a candidate for mayor who's running on these issues, I'd like you to take a look at my website, because there are ways we can get the energy to handle this. We can get the inspiration from wherever we get it, from music, from religion, from intellectuals, from philosophy, from, you know, accomplishments, from celebrities, from movies. Get inspiration from wherever you get it from, then realize that we know more about the system, whatever it is, today than we ever have. So if Bob Marley's saying, get up, stand up for your rights, and they didn't have the internet back in the 70s, they had an excuse. We don't. We can find out who we should get up and stand up against.
Word up. October 25th, Toronto votes. Stay tuned for more. Word up, Toronto Truth Seekers.
Word of Mouth Wednesday, back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And that was just the interview there with Vijay Sarma, candidate for mayor, one of the 40 registered candidates for mayor. More information on Vijay Sarma's campaign, check out whatyouwanttobelievein.com. Also, TorontoTruthSeekers.com for info on the Toronto Truth Seekers. That was audio from a street action that took place on Yonge Dundas Square. And also coming to Yonge Dundas Square this Sunday is the major Manifesto Festival main event taking over Dundas Square. But there's events going on all week, and you can check out themanifesto.ca for more info on what's coming up in the hip-hop community. Manifesto Festival of Community and Culture, it's an urban art and hip-hop festival. And just to get you in the mood for some hip-hop, this is a track here, KRS-One. Off the Universal Language mixtape. Check it out, KRS-One. This is the Universal Language intro featuring Zuka.
Real hip-hop is all about peace, love, unity, and safely having fun. This vision is what is common to most of the peoples of the earth, and this is why hip-hop appeals to most of the earth's people. We speak a universal language. Your hip-hop spiritual path begins with you learning how to create and guide thought, beginning with your own. What you think of repeatedly, you become. Therefore, the hip-hop spiritual path begins with a faith in our own existence as hip-hoppers. First, we must learn to honor ourselves and our history. Here, you must finally stop doubting yourself and realize your limitlessness within hip-hop. For when your inner truth is louder than your outer circumstances, you have learned to live and walk in your hip-hop spirit reality.
They give you so much more.
You there for me?
Don't mess with the blessing, cause they give you so
you
much.
You are my everything.
What's holding me?
Who are you giving to me?
What's holding me?
And believe in me. It means everything.
Mouth Wednesday. Looking forward to the Manifesto, the fourth annual Festival of Community and Culture, Manifesto Festival, taking place this weekend. Event actually taking place close to campus, close to Ryerson campus here. There is going to be, on Saturday, there's going to be a speakers event, and it's going to feature a number of speakers, So Much Things to Say speakers series, including Ernie Panicoli, Maestro Fresh Wes Williams, Lillian Allen, Dalton Higgins, and more. And it's going to be on Saturday, September 25th. The Ryerson Students Union is presenting it in association with the Manifesto. So Much Things to Say at the 350 Victoria Street Library Lecture Theater, L72, right here at Ryerson Campus. And it's a free event from 1 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. So Much Things to Say speaker series taking place. And just wanted to now move into the next segment that I got here. And this is a segment that is getting more local, because we're getting into local issues. And one of the major local issues, talking about campaign, is the political campaigns, or the election for not only for the new mayor of Toronto, but also new city councillors. And what happened on the weekend, on Sunday, I was actually walking around in the area that I'm from, which is in the west side of Toronto, which in the the community has basically one major event of the year. That's the Ukrainian Festival, which is in Bloor West Village, which took place on the weekend. And I was walking through this big festival. They shut down the Bloor Street from between Jane and Runnymede, and I saw a candidate for city council walking around handing out some flyers. And I got that's the interview. That's the next interview I'm going to be playing here. It's an interview with Redmond Wessenberger, a city council candidate for Ward 13, Parkdale High Park. His campaign motto is "The status quo has got to go." And here is the words that I got with Redmond Wessenberger. In case you're interested in some local, here's what's been going on in the local issues of Ward 13. Here is some words from the past weekend. Check it out. Word up.
Word up. Daniel Libby here. We're on the street. We're in Bloor West Village, actually, here at the Ukrainian Festival 2010. And I've got a guest here. Do you mind introducing me?
Yeah, hi there. My name is Redmond Wessenberger. I live in the area. I'm running for city council, Ward 13.
Awesome. And we got the current city councilor is Bill Sondercook in this, Ward 13. And we're wondering, what are you thinking with the current state of affairs in city council? Like, why have you decided to take on Bill Sondercook?
The actual reason I decided to take on Bill Sondercook was the inefficient delivery of city services. There's a pool across the street from my house in a park, and every spring it gets clogged with leaves and organic material, and it's dangerous. It's filled with brackish water that gets covered in algae and whatnot. The kids are playing it, the dogs are playing it, and you'd think the city would be able to be proactive and actually deal with it, before I have to call, my city councilor. And I called his office and said, could you please send somebody down to deal with this? A week goes by, nothing's happened. So I call his house, I call his office, call the guy at the city, and after I finished doing that, I decided to run for city council. And the next day, the pool was empty, and I had put down my $100 to see if I could do something, make a change.
And I saw that for most of the summer, a lot of the summer, the local pool at along the lakeshore has been closed. Is that the one, the Sunnyside one? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's actually, it's one of the wading pools. It's actually in the park across from my house. And so it's, and kids are playing in that park all the time. It's a high draw. And so it's something that the city should be, these are the core services that the city is supposed to be delivering.
For real. And we've been following a lot of the race for mayor. Have you thought about the race for mayor at all? Have you endorsed any candidates?
I haven't endorsed any candidates, but, I think I could definitely work with anybody who's elected, except for Joe Pantalone. I'm not as much of a Smitherman person, and of course Smitherman has endorsed Sondercook, but that might tell you something about, he talks about putting a hold on the budget, But the thing is that Sondercook is a guy who's voted to increase spending and to increase taxes year over year. And so with Smitherman endorsing someone like that, I don't know that he's serious about keeping the budget in check.
What are some of your platforms for this area? What are you thinking about?
Well, specifically, I think that the top concern it affects actually everybody is the city budget, right? And, if you want to look at my website, www.voteredmond.ca, you could check out my 0% pledge, where I'm trying to get other city councilors and other city council candidates to endorse my 0% pledge. Essentially, we'll freeze the budget, freeze hiring, freeze the budget, and then start to put in incentives for city managers to actually roll back, say, 5% a year, year over year. Because what happens is as our taxes go up and cost of living go, what happens is that actually raises the cost of living. We have a lot of people in the city who are on, either low incomes or fixed incomes. When we've had 10 years of city, property tax increases, that really, the inflation really hurts them. And in terms of this ward particularly, I think this ward needs a city councilor who will listen to the people, who's going to be responsive to the needs of the residents of this area, and who's proactive as opposed to reactive. The city councilor we have currently is very reactive.
We're speaking with Redmond Westenberg on the streets of Toronto at Ward 13, and I was wondering, is there any Ward 13 debates? Is there a time that we can see all the candidates, or what's the?
Yeah, absolutely. 27th, there's going to be a debate on Rogers Television cable access, and the 28th of September, there's going to be a Swansea Area Ratepayers Association debate. And then myself, I'm going to be having an event on the 30th of September. It's going to be the launch of my campaign for the last month and the 0% pledge. So right now we're talking to mayoral candidates, seeing if we can get them down and seeing if we can get as many candidates from around across the city to come in and say that this is one of their key policy platforms.
Awesome. And we're here in Bloor West Village. I've noticed a few signs around the neighborhood saying that it's the 40th anniversary of Bloor West Village. Do you have any words on this area?
I think it's a great area. I live in the Junction, but I come down to Bloor West Village all the time. I think it was one of the first BIAs in the city of Toronto, and I think it really set a good precedent in terms of encouraging beautification, encouraging businesses to come in and be really involved in the neighborhood. Our BIA in the Junction has really helped out.
Bello. England loses, German winner, Spain is winner, Argentina go home, and Brazil. Thank you. Bello. Hasta mañana.
Yes.
He's doing an interview. This guy's running.
You
know politics?
You know politics? This guy's running. I'm coming from Baltic Sea.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no, I'm coming.
Baltic Sea, I think you say. He's coming from the Baltic Sea.
Me, I'm every day last summertime. Yeah. Okay, summertime, 3 weeks ago.
So some of the local color, I guess is what they call it, right?
Yeah. For real, and just thinking about the local political scene, what's been going on recently? Has there been anything that's come out that you've?
I've been dealing with one issue in terms of heritage. Architectural heritage in this area. There's this building, 66 Babby Point Road, and was slated, the residents for 9 months tried to get Sondercook to help them, stop this building from being demolished. It hasn't been demolished yet, but instead what Sondercook did was he essentially worked with the outsider, the person who was not of the community. He worked with him to help pass the variance, right, that would allow him to demolish the building. But right after he did that, not 2 weeks later, after heavy pressure from residents, he voted against a permit to demolish a house on High Park. And then, of course, he claimed after that he was you know, defending the architectural heritage of the neighborhood. And I think it's a bit disingenuous to basically, you know, work on one, you know, he's on both sides of that fence, right? And he's not consistent. Another issue that I think speaks to his responsiveness was the way he dealt with the daycare issue on High Park Avenue, right? There was a daycare that was about to open up, and some of the residents had issues. They didn't want a daycare opening up because of the traffic and the noise. And so what he did, of course, he waited till the last minute, put a moratorium on High Park Avenue, and then basically ignored the issue for about a year. And then a year had gone by, and the city came back, and the city was supposed to do research, and Sonderko was supposed to maybe follow up on this. A year went by, the city said, oh, we need another year to look into this issue. We don't know. All that Sonderko had to say about it was, well, I feel really sorry for the guy, but, you know, the city has to do, has to do its research, you know, has to do its work. But I don't think there was any push from him to actually resolve the issue. And so he alienated a lot of people, you know, a lot of young families who, you know, because we actually have, this area has been gentrifying recently. A lot of young families have been moving in. And, you know, as a person with two children, I can tell you it's very hard to get daycare in this neighborhood, you know, and affordable daycare at that.
For real, yeah, we're speaking about real issues here. For people that want to find more info on your campaign and stuff, is there any links or anything?
Yeah, for sure. You can just go to my website. It's www.voteredmond. That's VOTEREDMOND.ca. Or just do a Google search for Redmond and Ward 13 City Council.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. Those were some words from Redmond Wessenberg, who is the candidate for City Council in Ward 13, one of the five candidates in Ward 13, but the only candidate that I could find out on Sunday at the Ukraine Festival, Bloor West Ukraine Fest, the Bloor West Ukrainian Festival that takes place every year at the, third weekend in September. Redmond Wessenberger is running against the current city councilor for Ward 13, who is Bill Sonderkook, who has an office. I got to see his office because it's right on Bloor. It was, so there was a whole bunch of signs in front of the office. And then I asked one of the campaign workers there about if Bill Sonderkook was around. He said he was around, but that I just missed him and that he'd be back later. And then I checked later and he wasn't there. So I'm going to try to get an interview actually with him just because, you know, I'm interested in it because it's my own, area. So I'm interested in the local politics, but, you know, I know not all the listeners probably on this radio station are, you know, definitely not all from the same, you know, area. So, but, you know, it'd be good to get some balance, and it would also be good just to get the local candidates' thoughts on some of the things that Redmond Wessenberger brought up in that interview there. Not just his status quo has got to go campaign and 0% pledge, but what I was thinking of was the reason why Redmond gave for running had to do with a local area wading pool that he's got near his house that was, you know, that was something strange was going wrong with it. Well, the situation is, strange indeed at the lake. Along the lakeshore, I saw, when I went over to Bill Sonderkook's campaign headquarters on the weekend, I saw a presentation, a sort of a panel board with some diagrams of the future playground that's going to be along the lakeshore. And it's going to be a water park and playground, and it's the Canadian Navy Marine commemorative playground, and it seems to have some interesting areas for kids to play on the playground. One of them, apparatus set up to look like a helicopter, another one in the water park area that looks like a submarine, and another one that looks like a battleship, a ship. I just be interesting just to get the local candidates, because there was also a picture of him at the, I guess, whenever they broke the ground for that earlier in the summer, I guess. So I figure it's going to be coming out soon because they got the full diagram and it looks like they'd already started because they had a picture of Bill Sonderkook and Mayor Miller down. So that's an interesting thing coming up for the local residents, the High Park Parkdale, but also for all over Toronto, because, you know, what's really going on? So that's why I posted that, just a quick clip. My latest clip on YouTube is a quick one on support local, youtube.com/supportlocalscene is a clip of that diagram with some of the audio of the recent announcement of shipbuilding from the Defense Minister of Canada, Peter MacKay, talking about $35 billion for ships for the future. I guess within the next 30 years, they're going to replace the whole fleet and, you know, going to have the Arctic icebreakers and all part of the Canada First Defense Strategy, which is close to $500 billion spending. So always keeping an eye on the money, always keeping an eye on what's up. And, you know, just to just another thing to connect to the local area, because just thinking about, you know, Bloor West Village, Swansea's top rapper of all time. Here is a track. It's a classic track called City Slickers, tracked by Swansea's best, KDB, Crumpled Dollar Bills, y'all. Check it out. Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned. Real hip hop. Real respect, real. City slick, city slick, city slick, city slick, city slick, power. City slick, y'all, we city slick. And yeah, we ain't no country boy. City slickers, dog, we city slick, city slick, city slickers, power. City slick, city slick, city slickers, y'all, we city slick. And yo, we ain't no country boy. It's the mean gene, Oakley. No matter what jeans I'm in, volatile grenade head, venting without the pen. Never played out like mustard or cinnamon Tim's. Stylistic, wardrobe monsterific. Correct linguistics, enormous, gone ballistics, and still flawless. Rough getaway with the accomplished. In this lifetime, you ain't the term that I ain't accomplished. Back alleys, self-proclaimed death valleys. Trying to James Lane for dough, this world anarchy. Black Mamba, spit venom while you insomnia. Infidelity, your squad convey to cemetery. City slicker, politicker, the slick wicker. City slick, city slicker, dog, we city slick. City slick, city slickers, tower. City slick, city slick, city slickers, y'all, we city slick. Hey, yeah, we ain't no country boy. City slick, city slickers, dog, we city slick. City slick, city slickers, tower. City slick, city slick, city slickers.
I don't believe what I just saw. Are you baby edit? We have got to find out on a replay.
Word of Mouth Wednesday, back here on the show. We got about, reading the time, around 7:34 p.m. Right now. Just thinking about this Manifesto Hip Hop Festival taking place. Taking place currently tonight, going on right now, is the Film Fest, Manifesto Film Fest at the Royal Cinema. And I guess there's one featured taking place at 9:30 in case you're looking for something to do later tonight or tomorrow night, Thursday, September 23rd. Talk about the Made You Look art exhibition, that's what I've heard today. I got an update on this just in case anyone was planning to check it out, the art exhibition tomorrow. It's been changed. Apparently the location is not going to be at the Airship 37. It's actually going to be at 99 Sudbury. That was the info I got today, but I guess, you know, it seems like a last-minute change of place, so you might want to make sure at themanifesto.ca for the latest updates, themanifesto.ca for more info on that festival. And, well, going into our next segment here, I've got some audio here from the Free Mark Emery rally, and you heard that clip that we opened up the show with. Clip of Davin speaking on the megaphone, and Davin we spoke with last week when we had the candidate for mayor Dan Walker in as well in the studios, talking about this whole campaign, Free Mark Emery. Now I checked out the Toronto Hash Mob was there in effect, but when I got to the outside of the U.S. consulate, I noticed that there was not that many people there. There was a bunch of people there. They had the Mark Emery flags, but definitely like probably about half of what I had seen there last year. And this was on Saturday after I had helped out on Saturday Morning Live with some of the technical stuff right here behind the board here in CKLN. And then I walked over to the U.S. consulate, and so I figured it would already be on. But It seemed like within an hour since I got there, we saw coming down the street another a larger hash mob marching, and I guess they had arranged to have a march, but it hadn't been totally planned. Sort of a bit spur of the moment. But they had a truck, and then they were supposed to have a sound system. Some big thing happened with, I guess Chris Goodwin was driving the truck, and then there was, I think there was even a ticket involved, and then there was some thing about having the sound system, or they wanted to have the sound system plugged through the truck, but they wouldn't let the truck be stationed near the place. But what ended up happening, anyways, to make a long story short, was that it turned to a march. It turned into a march throughout the city because it became a point where I guess Matt Murnau said, you know, if we can't be heard at the U.S. consulate, then we're just going to make our voices heard throughout the whole downtown core with a march from the U.S. consulate back to this area, back to Yonge Dundas Square, and then it was basically a takeover of the stage there at Yonge Dundas Square during these film fest events. So it was pretty interesting what happened. I guess there's going to be more. I haven't got any video footage up yet, but I guess there's going to be more video footage of this coming out soon too. I've already seen a few clips up there on the YouTube, and you know, this is so what I'm going to do right now is just play a quick interview here that I got to speak with one of the activists, one of the many people that's out campaigning for Mark Emery. But this is an interesting story that you'll hear from Michelle, because she has been taking it to an international level and also taking the Free Mark Emery campaign overseas to the UK. Here's a bit of an interview from the worldwide Free Mark Emery.
This is Daniel Libby here. We're at the Free Mark Emery rally. We got a guest here. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Hi, my name is Michelle. I was just explaining to Dan here that I'm from Toronto, but I've been living in the UK for the past 6 years. And I actually staged a demo last year at this time outside the Canadian Consulate in Leicester Square in London. I collected 50 petitions in Mark's support. Well, actually, what happened was the Canadian Consulate knew that I was going to be standing outside until 4 p.m. At 3 o'clock, they came outside. I think they were quite shocked at how many people I was getting to sign the petition. And they came out and told me that they would only accept the petitions at that time. I insisted that I was going to stay until 4 p.m., as was arranged through the police and through the consulate. Sure enough, at 4 o'clock, there was nobody there to take in my petitions. So I then tried to contact the consulate all through the following week by email and phone. I was given somebody's card when they told me that they wouldn't accept the petitions at 4. And I was just simply ignored. Nobody ever got back to me. So in the end, I just sent everything off to Jody in BC. So that was my experience. And overall, it was really amazing how many people were interested to hear about Mark's story and how much support I got that day. So there you go.
For real. And what's going on here today?
Well, today we're here again in support of Mark. We want Mark to be brought back to Canada. So that he can serve his sentence here in Canada where his crime was committed.
For real? And we're talking about a worldwide rally. Well, what were people like when you brought up the subject in the United Kingdom? Like, did people know about Mark Emery in the UK? Or?
Not many people knew about Mark Emery, but obviously a lot of people know about the medicinal benefits of cannabis. And so I had a lot of support. People, in fact, were leaving and going to get friends of theirs to come and sign the petition. A number of them were hoping to become medical users if the government there decided to recognize the medicinal benefits. So, yeah, lots of support. And I was able to inform a lot of people about Mark and Mark's case.
Awesome. Free Mark Emery.
Free Mark Emery.
Free Mark Emery!
Free Mark Emery!
Free Mark Emery!
Free Mark Emery!
Free Mark Emery! Word up, word of mouth. Wednesday, that was the just a bit of an interview there, just a few words from the Free Mark Emery rally. And of course, the campaign goes on as Mark Emery was sentenced about, 2 weeks ago to 5 years in a U.S. jail for crimes crimes that would not be you wouldn't serve jail time in Canada for. So that is, it's definitely, the Mark Emery case is an important one within, the relationship between the U.S., the United States and Canada, because it seems like our law legal systems are, sort of merging, especially with a case like this where we have a Canadian extradited to the U.S. On the request of the U.S. DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. Well, you can check out more information on the Free Mark Emery campaign at freemark.ca, cannabisculture.com, or myrna.ca is Matt Myrna's site. And that's an interesting one because at the Free Mark Emery rally, there had been some water bottles being distributed. That was the new, that was sort of a marketing gimmick, was to have information on the Mark Emery case on labels that were attached to water bottles and give it out to people walking by. People, because when people walk by in a hash mob rally or something, they're not totally sure, who Free Mark is or, what's being talked about. That's an interesting, some interesting facts, definitely, if you check out myrna.ca for that info. And, I think I'll just play another hip-hop track here just because we're promoting this Manifesto Festival taking place this weekend. And this is a track here by one of the performers. He's going to be hitting the stage when this Sunday, Dundas Square, the main stage, the main event, gets taken over for Manifesto. There's going to be acts all day long, and then into the night it'll be the Philadelphia Mixtape, Talk About, J Period, Black Thought, J Electronica, and more, Socrates, Rich Kid, and the person who's got this track down right here is Decisive, track called Manifesto. Stay tuned. Word up, word of mouth.
The Nassau flight, Apollo 13 meets Creed pre-Drago, slit vein, I bleed Toronto, Northcliffe Boulevard till they seal my box closed and parade me north of Marley Ave, airbrush my portrait on Hopewell, walk on my Abbey Road like McCartney crossing, step gentle like Harrison's guitar weeps, screw face, Lisa Loeb, you say ish like you oughta know ish, so cool, yeah, you don't know this, never meant this, Jesus can't save you. Pokey red dick, you sound like a girl so metric, zero skill, no heart in your list. I stand like I'm taller than the tower, swifted Kanye of his power, and now I'm up. Speak till they scream back, give me feedback, now let's go, Manifesto, make some noise. Now that's what I'm talking about, that's what I'm talking about, I feed off feedback. Now let's go, Manifesto, make some noise. I'm too reckless, a noose necklace, I'm suicide, a fool's death wish, a toolie to the temple of your red fitted, Fred, guard your grill, Louisville pack the biscuit, cool day lie, cool they crook, stovetop, woof, souffle cook, but disrespect me, I assume they shook, truth is I'm smarter than you goof, hey look, I was reading Ginsberg while you struggled through the first few pages of the Cool J book, stupid, don't insult what you don't get, you only know rap and you barely know that, I'm very cold, Jack. Keep penning Richmond Street anthems with dreams of becoming an R&B. If while I stand like I'm taller than the tower, swifted Kanye of his power, and now I'm up. Speak till they scream back, give me feedback. Now let's go, Manifesto, make some noise. Now that's what I'm talking about, that's what I'm talking about. I feed off feedback. Now let's go, Manifesto, make some noise. I'm no walk in the park. I'm a sprint through a carnival carnage. I'm tearing your concert apart. The nails on my fingers rip through your carcass. You're reversing a song, I'm timeless. Whitey Dawn on college with a true foo schnick. Yo, Quest, your tribe is calling, pick up. I said pick up. Socrates, pick up. Rich kid, pick up. Black Thought, pick up. J Electronica, pick up. Manifesto, pick up. But nobody's home. So sad.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was a track there by Decisive, one of the many performers that's going to be taking the stage for the Manifesto Festival, themanifesto.ca for more info on the event, or come down to CKLN. You'll see in the flyer section, I notice there's a bunch of flyers in front of the CKLN studio in the Ryerson Student Center building here. You know, just if you're looking for a flyer, or if you got the internet access, then just check it out, themanifesto.ca for that. Now, what I wanted to get into just to close out the show here is the last topic for the show, but it's always been a top topic, you know, going on for the past few months, has been the G20. And we've got more info, we've got more updates on recent happenings. How about we start off here with something that I heard today on the radio. This is a clip here of Democracy Now! Had an update here on the G20 here. Check out this.
In Canada, a leader of the June protests against the G20 summit in Toronto has been arrested for speaking at a public event on a college campus. Toronto police say Alex Hundert's appearance on a panel violated one of his bail conditions that he not take part in a political rally. Hundert recently spoke out about his bail conditions in an interview with Submedia TV.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't, on the one hand, I don't think it's, I don't think there's anything wrong with refusing to be silenced. I think that's really important. But I mean, it's also being done under the conditions where I recognize that what the police are doing, that there is no actual breach of my conditions. They're trying to scare us. It's standard harassment and intimidation. And again, that's something that the police do all the time. The police are always intimidating and harassing people and their communities when people are, you know, saying things that the police don't want them to say.
Alex Hundert must remain in jail until his next bail hearing 2 weeks from today. In related news, the American Civil Liberties Union has filed a federal lawsuit over the mass arrest of 25 protesters at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh in September of 2009. The suit says police illegally disrupted a peaceful gathering, arrested people who were trying to follow police orders, and used excessive force, including the gratuitous firing of pepper spray and rubber bullets.
So that was just an update there that you're hearing from Democracy Now! That was aired this morning, the update on the G20, because we're talking about the criminalization on campus. Well, the voice you heard there, other than Amy Goodman's voice, was the voice of Alex Hundert, who's been accused of being the G20 ringleader, who was rearrested on Friday night after speaking on this campus, Ryerson campus, at an event, G20 Solidarity event. And it just seemed to be like an information event, and I even heard a bit of the speech played on the Word of Mouth Monday show. So it definitely didn't seem like a protest, but I guess those are conditions of his bail, is that he's not allowed to protest. So he was rearrested, and then there was, you know, there's been protests at the courthouse after that. And news headline today that about the G20 secret law, that there's going to be an independent investigation by Roy McMurtry, who's going to be looking into into this whole secret law, this what they call the McGuinty fiasco. Bill Blair was involved. Premier McGuinty is involved. And the Public Works Protection Act was involved when the whole downtown core was deemed to be a public protection. So, you know, I think there's going to be some more info coming out once all these investigations get underway, and we're seeing more info on the Korea, the whole situation in the Korea G20 as they're setting up. You can check out thesecretstore.ca for some info on what's been going down in Korea as the security forces in Korea are get ready for the G20 that's coming up in the beginning of November, which is a not really that long away, and this is how you know we're getting into a lot of G20s. Well, here is a bit on when we had just spoken about that Public Works Protection Act secret law. Here's just a quick clip here that you might be interested in. Hold on here.
If you don't identify yourself to me, then under that act, I'm going to have to arrest you.
Arrest me for not showing ID.
That's right. So I need to see your ID right now.
So that was just a clip there of Derek, who was one of the first people that was, you know, in an ID check on the week leading up to the G20. And it's a famous clip throughout YouTube because it's known as the New World Order ID check, where Derek is made to show ID due to this law, secret law, which came out later, wasn't necessarily granting these powers that that the police were meant to believe that they had, and I'm sure there's going to be more coming out with all these investigations going on. What we've been seeing though is here's just an interesting clip here of what people are thinking about when we think about this whole G20 situation, and when we think about how this whole thing was set up. Well, how about I just play a clip here of a Toronto Truth Seeker here, Toronto Truth Seeker Mike Hofstra, who speaks about his experience in the G20. Check out this
all one. The chaos. Doing whatever they could do. They got the green light to do whatever they wanted, you know? And the burning cars, burning police cars, to me, that was a staged event. All staged event. Probably torched by the police anyway. And to me, it looked kind of Hollywood, really. Because I saw CNN here, the CNN truck parked on the side street. And I'm looking, I said, oh, here we go. Here goes all the propaganda and the misinformation and stuff like that. So I saw them, and so the police cars were basically a good photo op for all these big media corporations and that, eh? So that was all staged. So the G20 was all staged, you could tell.
G20 as a staged event, and that's one of the things that Toronto Truth Seekers have been trying to get the word out. That's why the documentary's out, G20 Exposed, and that's why you'll see people out on the streets with G20 was an inside job, or G20 was a staged event on the signs, you know, people holding up signs. Well, that's one way to get the word out. And this whole situation of the G20 is definitely something that has an impact on activism because of how this supposed free speech zone was shut down, and how, you know, what happened during this supposed to be a labor union march, and then what, you know, this so-called black bloc group that broke off from the march. Well, was this a staged event? The question remains out there, but we definitely know that a lot of this, if it wasn't staged, was predicted. Making the prediction was some voices we had on the show before, and we played this track a lot. How about here just a quick clip of the G8 G20 crash the meeting? See if you can think if any of this. Was if they're actually predicting what actually happened, months before the actual G20 protest.
Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 2010 is here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets.
Lightened sovereignty.
Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they're locking down streets with the military.
So there you heard in just a few bars, just a few lines of that rap, in that rap, you heard Testament getting into a lot of the subjects, and a lot of what he said actually happened. There was window smashed live on TV that the that these guys already knew, Tesla Logic already knew that the media would be, you know, following the Black Bloc anarchists, and it would all be showing live. And supposedly they're, which... It's definitely something to think about. How can, you know, a track get out on YouTube? The music video got out on YouTube, and I guess even Tesla Logic was even targeted for arrest, because I think both guys were arrested, and apparently they can't, on their bail conditions, they can't even talk with each other now. But how can all that information get out, and then seem almost like the police didn't totally listen, because they weren't around while all the windows were getting smashed live on TV, as the line said, you know. So that's just it's either a total coincidence or, you know, or a prediction of the script that was being written by the powers that be. Now, who's really writing the script? Who really is the Black Bloc? Well, here is a theory, and I'm calling this a theory because... I definitely don't totally agree with it, because of the statement that's made here. Check out this one. Here is here's another one from the commentator, Michael Corrin of CTS. Check this out. Here's his thoughts on the Black Bloc.
These are middle class kids dressed in black. They should have been arrested. The police had a line. They wouldn't break it. Cars burnt, four cruisers, people attacked, intimidated.
Right.
Well, why didn't some of these peaceful protesters, such as, you know, steel workers and you know, pretty big guys who are, say to some of these little punks, all of whom it seems were white and I think middle class, when they started running around, stop doing it. You are ruining any point we're trying to. Why didn't they grab them?
So that's another one of the, something that I would take exception with is this belief or this projection that the media is trying to project, that the Black Bloc is a middle-class white male movement, just because, you know, and that could be true, that the majority of, maybe that could be the biggest segment of the Canadian population is middle-class white males. But I'm not sure if that was the, you know, definitely from what I've seen of the Black Bloc, it was not only males, and it was not only, you know, it was people of all, it seemed to be people of all sorts. And, they're wearing masks, so you couldn't really tell. Now, that's why, another thing why I think a lot of this Most Wanted, this G20 Most Wanted list is a bit of a spectacle, because all the people on the, or majority of the people on the Most Wanted list are not in any black garb. You know, you can actually see their faces and stuff. So that doesn't quite seem to be a total Black Bloc type thing. But, well, anyways, there's a whole lot of stuff we could be talking about with this. But we've run out of time here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. So what I'm going to do here is just make sure that that I let you know about the Manifesto Festival that's coming up this weekend, because it's going to be a major festival with the event. There's a Saturday event at Ryerson that I mentioned, the So Much You Can Say Speaker Series, and Saturday afternoon is a free event at the L72 Library Lecture Theater. And then the big day is the Sunday main event at Yonge Dundas Square. So check that out, taking over the Yonge Dundas Square. Also, stay tuned for our next show on CKLN here on a Wednesday night, the last day of summer, or, you know, the first night of fall, however you want to look at it. This has been our Harvest Moon special. This has been our Manifesto 2010 Looking Forward To special. And stay tuned for the Blues Dr. Julie Hill with the Blue Remedy. My name's Daniel Libby. This has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And much respect. Word is bond. Peace out.